Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Party people, quick, take a quick break. Stop what you're doing. Collaborate and listen. Coffee break. Well, it's already into the podcast. We're doing a coffee break. Not sponsored by any fine coffee producers out there, but would gladly accept one. Okay, let's get it going. Let's do this. Welcome to the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. My name's Bobby. I'm the host of this illustrious, yet to be like blown up podcast that's going to take over the nation. You guys just don't know it yet. So whatever platform you're listening to it on, I just want to say thank you for taking that time. And if you guys could just show some support, just like smash the follow or the heart or the like or whatever it is, rate it, tell your friends and family about it, and let's help this thing grow. So unfortunately, I was not able to land a co-host with this episode, but I figured we'd go ahead and do it anyway. And like you guys didn't hear the intro, I mean, this is the podcast that's going to be really about just entertaining, fun look at video games, having a good time, creating content, meeting new people, reminiscing about the days of old, fun games. And I know I keep reiterating and all that stuff, but that's what I do. I reiterate a lot. I talk about the good old days because I'm old, okay? And I could tell you a little bit about how I got into gaming, and let's do it. YOLO. So I got into gaming really. I mean, as a kid, Atari was a thing. That was one of the first home gaming systems. Yes, I'm that old. But really, it was about arcade games, and that's how you met your buddies, your first real gaming clans, if you want to call it, finger fucking quotations throwing up there. But, you know, I was always into sports, but, you know, who didn't like playing some Ms. Pac-Man, some track and field, some Galaga, you know, at the arcade just for days? You know, your parents would drop you off and give you a roll of quarters or a couple bucks and you just go at it. So and as I got older, and once I had kids, I did music for a while, and like 4.5 years, and I missed out on a lot of my kids' life, in my opinion, because I did that was my hope, that I would do music. And but they, as they got into gaming more and more, like Halo was big with them. They always like playing Halo, and they got into Call of Duty, and that was my way to really connect with my kids, was through gaming. So, and as they got older, you know, they got their own Xbox. We had one Xbox that we shared, and thankfully I didn't get, you know, I don't want to say thankfully, but before they were able to get their own account, they blew up my Xbox gamer score. Doing, you know, achievements. My oldest son was a big achievement hunter. My youngest, yes, not as much, but he was more about looking, doing pristine, cool, clean, crisp shots and being awesome about things like that. Whereas I never played story modes, campaigns. It just wasn't my thing. I was all about multiplayer. Let's jump on, let's go. I'll fucking play it later. But gaming was my way to connect with my kids, which led me to, I started streaming on something called Justin TV back in the day. And then I always wanted to get into esports management, and I was able to get into esports management with Salvo HQ, which led to Apotheon Esports. And then, at the time, I just missed out on a lot of stuff with my fiance, now, and our grandkids. So I stepped down and streaming and gaming on Twitch, which I stream on Twitch, you know, at least 3 to 4 days a week, if not more, at twitch.tv/junkhead13. 2-4. You guys, come hang out with me. And, you know, so gaming was like my thing, my way to be able to do this without the stress and the strains, which anybody that's ever been in esports management, the legit building teams, creating teams, it's a fucking taxing event. It really is. But streaming, gaming is my way to relax, and I get to do it with my fiance Shannon now. So for you guys that are out there, and I'm old, I got started into esports when I was in my 40s. Everyone told me no, and then someone gave me a chance, and I think I did a pretty damn good job. So the cool thing about with gaming is that there isn't a real age restriction. There really isn't. And, you know, so if you're that old guy that started on Atari, and you're seeing it a lot more now, there's a lot more older gamers that are doing it. And they're being very successful, whether it's creating content on YouTube, whether it's creating content on Twitch. But nowadays, before, like I said, all you did was hit go live, and you were good to go. But nowadays, the way it is, because of the advancement in technology, and you have to, like, pave the way for what you want to do, you have to, like, fucking, hold on a second. There we go. I just had a fucking scratch. I told you guys on a podcast to hold on a second while I scratch, like you guys could see that. You have to, like, there's so much more social media behind it. There's not only Twitter, you know, you should upload to YouTube, which I don't fucking do and I need to. I have so many things I want to do, but I'm not doing. And it's my fault. That's probably why I suck. And, you know, there's the tweets, there's the Instagram, there's the TikToks, there's the Snapchat alerts. Hey, I'm fucking live. Come hang out. We'll send feet pics for Twitch Prime subscriptions. Coffee break. But there's so much more to it. But all I can say is that if you guys want to get into creating content, you guys want to stream, you guys fucking do it. And this has always been my thing. This is the way I've always looked at things, is that I'm not the best at gaming. I will admit to it 100%. And my friends will tell you the same thing, that I'm not that good at gaming. But guess what? To me, it's not about gaming. It's about entertaining. And that's what streaming is, content creation. It's about entertainment. So it doesn't matter how fucking old you guys are or you gals are. You guys just do it. Just go live. There's plenty of people that are out there to always help out. Do things. Make it interesting for you guys. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid. Well, don't go into people's stream and say, hey, follow for follow. I want to grow so I can get, you know, my affiliate button on YouTube, on Twitch, so I can start making money. And if you think you're going to get affiliate and quit your job and go full-time streaming, good luck. Have fun. Write the book. Let me know how that works out for you. So let's kick it off. You guys, since I am an older gamer, and, you know, I have a couple ideas of some people I would love to co-host a show with me, and hopefully that will happen soon. But until then, you know, I want to talk about two games and that really sunk it in for me. One's a console game and one is a PC game. So for this episode is going to be called Toxic as I Wanna Be. Oh, me so toxic. Oh, me so toxic. Me toxic long time. I know if I offended you by saying it like that, I apologize. And I'm just going off of the, you know, Two Live Crew, Me So Horny song. So, like, for me, my first real game that it was, you got to be toxic. You did things, and the pregame lobby was fucking ruthless to the point where I don't think that kids today could handle it. And that was Modern Warfare 2. You know, because, especially in Modern Warfare 2, because there was always that second when you killed somebody. And you see it now, that's in Warzone, you get that second where they can say something and you get to hear it and you just laugh about it. So Modern Warfare 2, so toxic. The pregame lobbies were the worst. I don't know how many times younger kids fucked my mom. Nonstop. They banged my mom so much that she probably didn't even know about it. And I'm sorry, Mom, if you ever hear this podcast, for all those people in Modern Warfare 2 that banged you. You know, coffee break. But, you know, people talk so much crap to each other. And I don't want to say it was promoted, but it wasn't taboo. You did it. You talk shit. Free games lobbies were ruthless. And, you know, nowadays all these kids have little nicknames like for everything, like simps and I don't know, yayeters or something. Who knows? But Modern Warfare 2, you got tough skin playing that game. Nonstop. You had to have the toughest skin in the world because someone was going to talk a lot of shit about you. And you had to be able to fucking handle it. And you did. Modern Warfare 2 was a great... That was my favorite console game of all times. And let's face it. If you played Modern Warfare 2, I'm not going to lie. The guys that I played with were One Man Army Pro, NoobTube, Danger Close. We NoobTube the shit out of people on some domination. And, you know, we all knew the NoobTube spawns on a lot of maps like Afghan. Oh my gosh. Plenty of times I NoobTubed. Was it B? In Poppy Field? I just NoobTubed that all the way to a fucking chopper gunner. You know? And that's how it was. And you could control spawns in that game. And, you know, the guys I played with, we weren't stupid. It's domination, which means that you only need control 2 points to set it up for victory, and that's it. If you didn't push past halfway, guys were spawning on like that one spot. That's it. It was the original good spawns, you know, but you know, nowadays when you play Call of Duty, these guys like, oh, it's domination. We have two. We're winning. We're up. Let's go ahead and try to, you know, trip cap everybody and then spawn and fuck everybody, the whole team. You guys are idiots. Stop it. You only need 2 spawns in domination to win. But, yeah, that's how it was. And then, you know, you'd always get into the back end of the, you know, if you would just dominate them or, you know, I had a buddy who was fucking really good at pulling nukes. And, you know, his thing was always to try to get at least a double nuke in a game. Like Terminal. Oh, he was nasty. And that was his thing. See how many nukes I can get in a game against a team. And, you know, like we would noob tube and he wouldn't. He'd run around and just fucking, you know, he'd sit around, he'd lock down a point and that's it, you know. And then if he got noob tube, then, you know, of course, when you're noob tubing everybody, everybody's gonna fucking noob tube you back. And then he'd get noob tubed and he would just go fucking ham. Scrapyard. Oh my god, you guys, Scrapyard. Oh, Rust CTF, because we would play Team TAC 4v4. But I'm telling you, console games, you guys, console games. Modern Warfare 2, I developed real thick skin. Real, I mean, I was in the military, so I had thick skin to begin with, but from a gaming standpoint, some of the stuff that was said, I don't think kids today could handle that shit at all. They'd probably be crying and calling mommy and daddy and say, hey, they talk shit about me. But we'll digress. Into my first foray. That was it. So you guys, yes, Modern Warfare 2, toxic, and then it made a man out of you, or a woman out of you, whatever you want to call it. Because I knew a lot of women that were really good at that damn game. But yes, Modern Warfare 2, it prepared you for life. And I salute you guys. Coffee break. Spot open for sponsorship. All right. So now that we're going from console to PC. Still toxic as we want to be. Toxic as we want to be. Here we go, guys. Oh, shit, son. So, when I was an esports manager with Apotheon Esports, H1Z1 Competitive became the thing. So, I couldn't really, and I've said this before and I've done podcasts, I couldn't really be a manager for a game that I've never played. And coming from console, PCs were expensive. And, you know, so my oldest son bought me, he knew that I wanted to do it. So he bought me a PC for like $200, paid like $60. They threw like a, you know, GT I don't know. It's like a fucking 500 graphics card in it. So nothing really extravagant, you know? Just so I could play H1Z1. And I'm telling you right now. Oh, at the beginning, the lobby. Oh, so many Chinese people told me that they fucked my mom. Again, it carried over into that one, you know? They had, you know, China was number one. People talk shit to each other all the fucking time. And it's the same thing. I felt like maybe that's why I liked it, because I wasn't very good at it as mouse and keyboard, still learning. I mean, I've been on mouse and keyboard for a couple years now, and it's still taking some time to get used to. And honestly, I don't know if I'll ever go back to console. I really don't. But H1Z1, a game that was so fucking beautiful. It had proximity chat, and I wish so many games had I wish Fortnite had proximity chat, but I don't think they're going to let it happen. I really don't. Unfucking-fortunately. God, you fucking dicks. Give me proximity chat. I want to tell these little shits what the fuck is up. But H1Z1, you know, I remember one of the first times I got, because that game, H1Z1 was a really skill-based game. Like, there was bullet drop, there was, you know, on everything, you know, and at range, bullets move different, you know, the certain sounds, the dinks, the squish, you know, when you broke an armor and you, like that two, I remember the first time I got a two tap, I about shit myself. I was like, oh my God, I finally fucking did it. I finally got a fucking two tap. And it was so, it was one that you were, how do you say? Okay. All right. It was good to be bad because it gave you something, in my opinion. It was good to be bad because it gave you that drive to want to be better at something, to hone your craft, to learn more about the game, to develop it, to learn that, you know, like with the AK, down and to the left, down and to the left, down and to the left, every time you shot it, you know, so it made you want to get better. The community, you know, especially from the comp side, always wanted to each other to get better. So like Pineapples helped me, you know, you guys know Piney is. Piney actually helped me land my first team with H1Z1, recommended some players, and it worked out. And you know, I met a lot of great people in H1Z1, but it was always, I mean, like I said, let me go back to the first time I got a kill, because the highest I ever got was that game was Platinum 2. I never got the royalty. I always got the Plat 2, and I stopped there. I couldn't do it for some reason, because when I first started playing the game, I just started playing for placements, really, you know? I didn't play for wins. I didn't know. I was, like, afraid to get into gunfights, and it was the worst thing ever, because I didn't learn that you wanted to get into gunfights to learn mechanics of games and how it was. And that's what I did. I played like a pansy. I didn't develop that skill, but I still, it made me want it more and more and more. So Plat 2 was the highest I ever got in H1Z1. And I missed that game. I wish that game was still around. Oh, I fucking miss it so much. But I remember the first time I shot somebody, like I'd play with our pro players, and I could see like they, like, you would hide behind, you know, your Jeeps and trucks, and you know, I've seen, and I watched my guys shoot people in the feet and get kills. So I remember the first time I killed somebody, and he was a royalty 3, and he's like, you're fucking hacking, I'm reporting you. And I was like, don't be mad because a Plat 2 person just fucking killed you. Chill, you know, go back to the fucking lobby, you know. And he's like, oh, I'm fucking reporting you. I go, dude, what does it say about you that I killed you? I'm not very good, but I'm having fun playing this game. Fuck off. And they're like, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm not reporting you. But, you know, well, like, you can go through and watch. Go to T-Hump, right? T-Hump on H1Z1 had the best fucking shit talk. One day he's like, fuck you. No, fuck you. No, fuck you. No, fuck you. All right, man. Talk to you later, man. All right, have a good one. Love you, buddy. You know, cool. You know, and that's how it was. People were so toxic that it was kind of cool in a way. And people always turned off rocks. I left it on because it was the best. I'd be like, you know, like my thing was that if someone killed me, I was like, I still love you. Love you. Coffee break. But yeah, I love proximity chat. And H1Z1 was a game that was so addicting for me because it was, maybe because it was just like Modern Warfare 2, it was toxic, you know, chat and stuff like that. And yes, there was a lot of hackers. The Chinese people would come over and play on American servers, and it'd be damn near to fucking kill them. Or you'd get people that had like the speed hacks, and they'd run around you and go me, like they're fucking the Road Runner. Fuck those fuckers. But I mean, every time I would die, I'd fucking ready right back up. I'd go right back into it. And you would always get in the games with like pros. I mean, like one of the guys I like fanboyed over in that game was this guy named Aladdin, right? Another Florida guy. And you'd always see the kill feed. He's like, oh my God, I'm in a game with Aladdin. And like every time I was like, I would always joke. It's like, I'm going to fucking kill Aladdin one time. I don't care if I have to fucking be dirty about it. You know, I don't know, throw fucking words at him or rocks or fucking trip him or tie his shoelaces together. He's killed me every fucking time. I don't think I've ever killed a pro that played the game. My first game, I was killed by a pro. Very first game, two-tapped by this guy named Bizarre. The second game I ever played, I was like, oh, I can drive a truck. So I'm in a truck, and it's upside down in midair. And this guy you probably know, his name is Huskers, who I think he played for Rogue. Yeah, I think he played for Rogue. Two taps me out of a Jeep. And then my third game, Bizarre gets me. And my fourth game, a guy named Doug is Raw kills me. So you were always in games with pros, and if you got it there at the right time. But that game was an addiction. I love that game so fucking much. 100% love that game. But that's it. That was my toxic games that I love, that, you know, Modern Warfare 2, console, PC, H1Z1. Oh, there's not another game. And, you know, you could say Fortnite is toxic. I think it's just, that's the people that play it, really. Kids. That's just my thing. I wish proximity chat. I'd love to be able to talk to some of these people because, let's face it, when I play with Shannon, my fiance, and we have our own little dance that we do if we kill somebody. It's the kitty, 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 I'm a cat dance, which is, oh, I'd be so pissed off if someone did it to me. Like, you can throw the L dance on me, and I'm going to laugh. Fucking bot. But if you throw the kitty, 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 I'm a cat dance on somebody, you're going to remember that shit. So, I want to say thank you guys and gals once again for coming and hanging out on episode 2, Toxic As I Want to Be episode for the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. I can't say thank you guys enough. Tell the people, tell the world about this podcast. And like I said, hopefully soon I will have myself some co-hosts. Even if we have to rotate them in and out, that's fine with me. If you know somebody, you guys just let me know what I'm saying. And you guys have a good one, a great one. Whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, you guys show some love and support. Tell everybody about it. Until then, my name is Bobby, and welcome, and thank you. What the fuck? Get wrecked. Thank you guys and gals very much for listening to the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. Episode number 2, Toxic As We Want to Be.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Mom, I gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!